We have 23 people who want to speak, and I would like to give them at least 2 minutes, which means extending time for, say, 45 minutes for this open session. Is there any objection to that? All right, hearing none. Please take your 2 minutes sharp so that everybody gets a chance. Nancy Kent, you're first.
Okay. My name is Nancy Kent. I'm a listener at KPFK in Los Angeles, and I'd like to thank you all for helping to keep the network running. And for about a year now, I have been listening to the PNB meetings online, and I want to especially thank the people who sometimes interrupt the meeting to mention there's too much noise on the line to hear the speaker, or else somebody is speaking too softly and get the person to speak up. So thank you. Please keep doing that. And I was here briefly last night and then this morning, and I think it's really great to see people that I know always vote on opposite sides of certain issues, getting along very congenially here and respectfully with each other. Thank you for setting that model for the rest of us. And just one question. The Pacifica bylaws that are posted online, are those the most current revision of the bylaws? Could somebody answer that? Thank you.
Take it over there, Mike Murphy. Hello, my name is Mike Murphy, and I'm going to address the issue of geoengineering. I want to thank you for covering this issue in a number of your stations. Today I want to address that, A, it is a very real issue, and B, it's a very serious issue. In terms of addressing how real it is, geoengineering scientists are proposing dumping 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum into the sky. I've been at the meetings. These plans are all laid out. This is what they are proposing. What I have done is investigative work. I went up to Mount Shasta with some scientists, and we did snow samples. Aluminum should be normally at about 5 parts per billion. Drinking water allowables require no more than 50 parts per billion. Government intervention is required at 1,000 parts per billion. The snow was tested at 61,000 parts per billion. People are drinking that. It is poison. And if anybody knows the environmental implications of aluminum, they are devastating because it raises the pH of the soil. We are literally seeing forest, trees, insects, ecosystems around the world are literally dying from these programs. The health implications, if anybody knows how serious those are, they are very serious, including Alzheimer's, high blood pressure, respiratory illness went from number 8 down to number 3 on the list of mortality. We believe that this is related. This is a very serious issue, and we need to see this addressed more. It concerns me when various radio programs call people who address this very real issue as kooks. And it appears that those who are doing that are acting in the interest of those who have not only monetary, but also political interests within the subject. It looks very poor. And let me tell you something, everybody in this room is or will be affected by this issue. So I want to urge the board and everyone today to look at this and please stop the cover-up. This is very serious. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ken Aaron.
Hello, I'm recently elected to the KPFK LSB and on several PNB committees. This is an unrehearsed statement I want to make, so excuse me if I'm not too eloquent. But I do feel like the curtain has come up on the future of Pacifica, because we now have a board that, if there is some healthy dissension within the board, we are operating in a congenial, cooperative fashion, and I have elated hope for the future. I do want to make one point on some of the issues that are coming up in terms of the relationship of management, paid management to the elected board. Pacifica is represented by the Pacifica National Board. You are the intellectual head of Pacifica, not the management. And I would caution you to be careful about abrogating or yielding over any policy or directive decisions to management. Now, it's healthy, and in all nonprofits, there's always a conflict or a slight division between management and governance. That's healthy. That's okay. Both are trying to solidify their position. But please, do not yield anything on the financial or the electoral or the governance of the network. It belongs to you. And the people that are working in paid positions at management are your servants. They have to follow the directives from this body, not the other way around. Thank you.
Thank you. Sharna Gluck.
I can't believe I agree with Ken Aaron. First of all, I wasn't here last night, so I just want to welcome you to this Union Hotel. And there's something magical about it, and maybe because we're in Los Angeles, but several years ago, upstairs in this very room, is where a commitment was made to bilingual and Spanish language programming. So it's kind of nice that now that you're here in this same place, in this city, that there is a renewed commitment. And I want to thank our compañero from Texas. I heard him on the stream this morning. I came here feeling very disheartened, and I'll tell you why. Everyone's very up, and I don't want to be negative. I see us going down a slippery slope. I see very little concern for due process. I see increasing strictures on free speech. I'm particularly concerned about the issue of due process. This board passed a resolution about violence and threats of violence, undefined. There is no due process that is part of that. There is no... How many of you are union members or ever have been union members? Okay. We're concerned about due process usually, right? We usually have clauses that deal with progressive discipline. And none of that is being observed. I have very serious concerns about that. I have serious concerns about increasing centralization. And I'm glad that Ken made those points that he did. I hope I have some time and can come back this evening because I have a whole lot more on my mind. But I do want to thank you all for the attention that I think I heard you paying this morning to Arizona and what's happening. And I didn't have time to make a sign saying we are all illegals, but I strongly urge that we have editorials on every single station and that we all start wearing, if someone is a good graphic artist, something that says we are all illegals, the same way that the Danes and the Bulgarians wore yellow stars. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Brown.
Good afternoon. I would like to make a proposal that this board consider the fact that Pacifica does not have an order of succession. We have four stations without GMs. We have people coming and going. We had a time when people at the national board have to run to stations to take up positions. I think that Pacifica should make a motion, hopefully at this session, to appoint a committee to designate an order of succession at every station for every management position so that there is no scurrying around, no wondering, no confusion as to who will step into what post. What that will also do is improve enormously the quality of your management, because John McCain was not elected partly because people thought twice about the person who was next in line to become president. So that should be the case at our stations. If and when a GM is fired or gets hit by a car or gets sick or something, one person or two person or a trio or whatever the PNB thinks should be the order of succession should be enshrined as policy. That would also eliminate all the problems that come up with jobs being posted and who was asked and who wasn't asked, because it would be corporate policy and it would be in place and not to be argued with. Thank you.
Thank you. Fernando Velasquez.
Please do not get me wrong for what I'm about to say. Think of it as a family issue. Mama has a drinking problem. Daddy has a gambling problem. In the 1990s, when the hijackers, the Clinton Democrats, were running Pacifica, we had the sons and daughters of Abraham dominating the airwaves on KPFK, and every single drive-time hour, we're going back to the same place. The bleaching of the programming, people of color fading away from the drive-time hours, and don't tell me that you cannot repeat Free Speech Radio News because I'll be duplicating content. You do it with Democracy Now. You don't seem to have a problem with that. The removal of Informativo Pacifica was part of this enlargement of the effort of Lila Garrett, Susie Weisman, and Alan Minsky to expand a man who had 23 and a half hours a week to give him 24, because he's one of them too. That we must understand. We need to get away from that. In terms of stripping brothers and sisters, that's apartheid. That's segregation. I thought we wanted to get away from that. We're going back to apartheid and segregation. Blacks over here, browns over there, whites over here. That's stripping, brothers and sisters. Let's get away from that. In terms of Informativo Pacifica and my brother here making statements about our show being the best in North America, well, let's say somebody laughed in the audience when he said that, but President Chavez asked me, gave me the honor the other day to be part his special guest in a show to inaugurate the Radio of the South, and it broadcast that was being broadcasted in three continents. And in that show, the presence of Bolivia, of Nicaragua, and Argentina were present. President Chavez gave me more airtime because he recognizes the work that we do, even if you don't. Thank you very much.
Israel Foyer. Thank you.
It would be good to keep in mind what I said last night about taking note of listeners who make comments worthy of note. For example, Steve Brown's little idea a moment ago. Whether good or bad, if one member would say, I asked the secretary to make a note that this should be taken up by a committee or by the board. That's all I'm asking about. Not to put every word of every listener down. That's pointless any more than every word of every board member. But if an idea comes up, a criticism, a suggestion, if any board member here thinks that's worthy of following up, ask the secretary in the meeting publicly to make a note of it. That's the point I'm making about that. Hope it's a whole misunderstanding. Finally, since time is brief, on programming, we need to develop clear criteria, evaluation standards for programs and programmers, both evaluation of existing ones and proposed ones, so that it isn't at the whim of good or bad or well-advised or ill-advised programmers, program directors. This is not a personal criticism, just a comment in general. Pacifica in general, to my knowledge, certainly KPFK historically, has not had a clear, ongoing, ready for revision kind of policy on how programs are selected, how programmers are evaluated. It needs to be done. I think I spoke to Alan some months ago, and I think he thought it was a good idea too. He's under pressure to do things now, and I understand and respect that, but this should not take the place of a longer term, but not too long, project of developing the kind of criteria and evaluation for programs and programmers so everybody understands what's going on and why. Maybe a kind of contract with programmers. I say a kind of contract so that people aren't here for life on the one hand or dismissed just like that on the other hand. Something more rational, more reasonable all the way around. Thank you.
Thank you. Tahir Poor.
My name is Tahir Poor. I'm a physician. I'm from Iran. I've been listening to KPFK for many years, and I have noticed the changes occurring in this radio station and also in the KCET, for example, Bill Moyer being retired, so to speak. And so I come to this conclusion that the changes being happening in KPFK. I believe in democracy. I believe in free expression of opinions. If somebody comes, talks about Cuba, talks about the Nicaragua talks about the Tibet, there should be a counterpoint. Somebody should come in and answer some of the comments that's been made. The last 2 weeks, there was somebody talking about Cuba, then somebody talking about the Tibet, which the points were made. They were all falsified, and that was the gentleman's opinion, which is fine. But there should be a counterpoint, that somebody should come in and give you a different opinion. I come from Iran. I went through many revolutions when I was in Iran. That's when Dr. Mossadegh was overthrown by CIA. And I come in here. I saw the religious fanatics taking over. There's a reformist movement in Iran. I know what is the difference between reformism and the revolutionary zeal, so to speak, the changes, revolutionary changes. And if you want to go through the reform, go to the Democratic Party, step by step going there and ignore the left. There are thousands of radio stations in this country. There are Christian fundamentalists, Democrats, Republicans. There is one station, KPFK, which gives the express the opinion of the liberated people. So I am begging you people, don't let this station go where the other stations went. Thank you.
Thank you. Reza Poor.
My name is Reza. I'm the chair of outreach committee. Last night we were in Santa Ana. About almost 100 people, young people, were demonstrating against this sheriff coming there. But KPFK were not there. I called the station because there were a checkpoint. The station would not answer. But they allocate 7 hours to a Ian Master. 7 hours, all the time interviewing the ex-CIA agent. But they never asked this CIA agent, what was your position when you overthrew Dr. Mossadegh in Iran? Or Allende? Or Sukarno? Or Lumumba? You never hear this, question on 7 hours of our time to Ian Master and other people. Believe it or not, going to different community, Alan Minsky reported we have more 100,000, 10,000 more listeners. That's baloney. It's not true. People are not listening to KPFK. Every corner of our city, when we go, they are fed up with the station. They don't support that because they don't allocate time to oppress people. They hate when they hear oppressed people. They are not happy with that. 3 million people are in jail here. We don't have any program for that. So I'm begging all of you to hear it has to be changed. Or someone says the curtain is going up. No, it's going down. We are losing listeners. Next fund drive, instead of 5 weeks, it's going to be 7 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron Spriestesbach. Ron Spriestesbach? Oh, okay. Yeah, Linda Zeeks is next. I think that's the last name. Anyway, first name is Linda.
Who comes next?
I said Linda Zeeks.
I'm Ronald Spriestesbach. That's who's next. I want to say that I appreciated a good conversation I had with Ken Aaron earlier this evening, and a member of a group that I've been totally opposed to during this year, their actions. And I must say that I've really enjoyed the chairmanship of Mr. Cromshaw. He's been a very wonderful chairman. The problem I've had is that I've been fighting a resolution that had a procedure in it to discipline someone in the station that was totally absent of any due process for the person. Did he have any witnesses at this hearing? If he had had witnesses, I would surely have been one of them.
Thank you. Linda Zeeks, and after that is John Wenger.
Could you read the stack?
No.
Please.
Ooh. I'm good.
Okay. My name is Linda Sizes, and I'm from WBAI Radio. And I thought I'd give you a little information about BAI. So I guess we start with the P&B here, and then we'll go to the bottom of BAI. So we have a custodian who comes in, she complains, and she sits around and she gathers some of the trash. It has this little feather thing, and she pushes around, and she's finished. Then we have volunteers. There is no one to report to as a volunteer. I don't know where their volunteer coordinator is, and there's no infrastructure for absorbing any volunteers. They come to the station, and they're told there's no work, and goodbye. That's wonderful. Then we have the unpaid staff who work very, very hard, donate a lot of their time, and when a meeting is called by our current IGM for a staff meeting, unpaid staff meeting, well, why should they show up when that meeting became nothing but a party, not a dialogue, not an interaction, but a party? Well, the unpaid staff have jobs that they're paid at, hopefully, and they're not going to take time off for such a party. Then we have the paid staff. Now, the paid staff are really overworked. They are given very little money for what they do, and their love is for WBAI. And so they do what they can, and the general manager thinks of them as in a very disrespectful manner. Then we have a program director who is King Mr. Program. There is not a committee of, let's say, a music department, an arts department, a history department, a women's department that meets every month to render a decision. There is only one person who is making those decisions, and this cannot continue. And then we have a general manager who has a door with a sign in front of it. You can't even see her to go to the receptionist if you want to see her. And she's sitting in a space that only one person can fit in at a time, and then you're claustrophobic. And unfortunately, I'm out of time.
Thank you. John Wenger and then Nancy Lawrence.
Yeah, two things. Yesterday you started hearing about chemtrails and geoengineering, and I said, look at the sky today, and you'll see for yourself, and today we have no chemtrails. So what I'd like you to do is go out there and look at the sky and see what it looks like today, and then go out and look at it again tomorrow, and maybe we'll be lucky, and maybe we'll see, you know, the before and the after, that sort of stuff. So please go out and look at the sky during a break, and then look at it again tomorrow. It's important that you see for yourself and you start looking at the sky. Now, number two, I'm on the finance committee at KPFK and on the board. The FAP is a really big deal here, and I have an amendment, Leslie and Summer. Please listen to this possible amendment. The FAP is overkill, and it destroys local feelings of self-empowerment, et cetera, if the national office needs regular reports, they are computed on the server at the national office. The issue is whether the data is input from the local station or not to that server. If the issue is the data does not happen, then it would be really simple to for there to be a rule such that the general manager does not get paid if the report does not come in on time. And if the business manager did not get paid because the data did not come in on time, then you can be guaranteed that unless the data entry person gets sick or gets hit by a bus, that data will get in there. And if that's not enough, then what you can do is you can hold the paychecks for the entire station. Then you'll have a near lynch mob situation to make sure the data gets in and your reports will be done. You do not need to take away control of the local accounts from the fiscally responsible stations. Just think ways to motivate the people to turn their reports in. I'm done early.
Thank you. Nancy Lawrence and then Don DeBar.
Okay, is that, yeah. Maybe it's a little low. Okay, this is good. I am a listener and former listener board member at KPFK. I also am a reader of a magazine, an independent socialist magazine called Monthly Review. And Monthly Review, there are articles, and this is where geoengineering comes in, about the fact that more and more corporate scientists are turning to forms of geoengineering, quote, to save capitalism so we can continue to pollute and affect the earth, to geoengineer the skies and the oceans. So I think the idea of a program on these issues are very good. These things are connected. There is a movement growing, starting from Latin America. It's being led by indigenous people. They are the new vanguard. We need to follow these movements and help these movements grow. We are an alternative voice. There was very good programming on that with Democracy Now! And some of the other programmers like Fernando and Velasquez and Margaret Prescott. So we need to follow this movement and help it grow. This is a very important thing that will affect our planet. It's sort of like the day the Earth stood still. I mean, maybe there'll be a decade instead of a day. But this is a very serious matter. We got to continue. We're talking about saving our planet, and I hope that Pacifica will be a voice for that. Secondly, I hope the Pacifica National Board, there'll be a Pacifica National Board resolution in support for the Latino community in Arizona. And third, Ian Masters. He has taken Jerry Creakley's place, which is a disaster, to put it mildly. And people were talking earlier about NPR. The reason why NPR is maybe losing some of their listenership is they're coming over just to listen to Ian Masters. We don't want Pacifica to become a new NPR. So let's fight the good fight, and viva Pachamama.
Thank you. Don DeBar and then Grace Aaron.
No, I got it. Thank you. Yep, cool. We're starting now. How long do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Steve Brown came before you You all know him, of course. And I would like to refer you to WBIXradio.org, and anyone listening now or in the future. There is a videotape of a year ago's meeting at Berkeley, California, of the PNB. And at that point, on Saturday, as a matter of fact, essentially a year ago today, 52 clean weeks, I advised the members of this board and you as their successors to look at what Steve Brown had published about Bernard White, who is going to end up being a plaintiff in a case against this board, probably the most successful one in history. And the essence of it was a reading of his own writings, calling him every racist name in the book, whether overt or covert. That's the first thing. Steve Brown earlier essentially is trying to stake out territory for this board to extend its domain beyond its limits, as term limits, to choose not only the PDs or whatever other officials exist at each station, but their successors. I'm telling you now that it's illegal under our rules to do that. First of all, he's going to be looking for a change to do that, and secondly, it will be litigated, so you have notice of that today rather than at the point when people start to litigate it. The third point that I want to make is that if you look at a year ago plus one day, again, WBIXradio.org, Errol Maitland made a presentation to the board. It was the second of that weekend. Earlier, I introduced Errol Maitland and Tony Bates. We have now Ian Masters, by the way, on the air in New York City, never before in history, and Tony Bates, who's never programmed a radio station before, as our program director. We have a Masters-Bates, basically, programming grid going on in our drive time. And I want to make sure that people know that we're going to fight it, and I will be back tonight and tomorrow to continue this because I have a whole presentation I want to make.
Thank you. Grace Aaron and then Janet Coleman. I guess. Janet Coleman, then Bernard White. I'm sorry? Janet's not here. Okay, Bernard White and then Lawrence Reyes.
I'll try my best to squeeze 29 years into 2 minutes. My name is Bernard White, and I'm the big black gorilla that Steve Brown has told you so much about. There was an African revolutionary named Amamkar Cabral who made a statement once that was very profound. He said, tell no lies and claim no easy victories. And I think that you folks have violated both of those ideas, that you've created a whole cottage industry of pretense where you make believe that things are one way when they're actually not. You have, for instance, you applaud Grace Aaron for the work that she's done. But what has she done? Over the last 12 months or so, she's fired 7 people, all male, all either black or Latino, and nobody says anything about that, as if, you know, race doesn't have anything to do with it, when race has everything to do with it. You are pretending that BAI is doing well, and you know very well, at least to your own audit report, that you're doing worse at WBAI than you were a year before you got there. You pretend that this board is operating well because there's no discussion, there's no dialogue, when you know very well that you paid, bought these elections and outspent good people, and that's how many of you got elected, because of the slates that you were on. There's one thing I want you to do. Because of the amount of money that you're losing and the rate at which you're losing it, I'd like you to slow down. Because when I finish my lawsuit, I want there to be some money there for me to take away.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes and then William Hiroagan. Lawrence? Lawrence? Yeah.
Okay, I'll wait for all the shushing to stop. I don't want to start too.
Go ahead.
Okay. The big elephant in the room, or the gorilla in the room, is that there's still a race problem in Pacifica that you guys do not want to address. You have a national race policy that has never been implemented, and you have a program, a national program committee, that says stuff like this, and I quote, because I got this off the screen. Now that the Tea Parties are the hot topic of the news, Pacifica board members aren't even bothering to hide their contempt for the diverse community-based programming that was the original vision of Pacifica founder Lou Hill. On April 19, 2010, during a telephone conference meeting of the Pacifica National Programming Committee, Kim Kaufman, local station board member from Pacifica KPFK, urged Pacifica to move away. Boy, I'm nervous. Pacifica to move away from diverse programming, and stated, "Is diverse a code word for people of color programming?" Kaufman makes it pretty clear. She states, "If I don't hear the word oppressed people for a while, I'll be happy. If I don't hear the word oppressed people for a while, I'll be happy." I want to repeat that, because we're getting even more and more fractured, and we're not even trying to reach out to different constituents. We are losing just from my talking. I haven't had breakfast today, so my talking to people. We're losing the people who used to turn on KPFK and listen to it all day long. The more we try for diversity, the more we are going to lose people. Now, I know Alan Miskey, as a program director, is not going to support anything like that. And I hope any member that's on the Pacifica National Programming Committee will not endorse anything like that, and that you look for a reasonable way of really increasing our listenership. I'd like to refer you to a book called Pedagogy of the Oppressed. Maybe you should read that.
Thank you. William Hiroagan, and then Tracy Lawkins.
Hello, William Hiroagan from New York. The finances the fundraising at WBAI, it was just referred to, I think Mr. White said something about it. And perhaps other people did, too. A year ago, some of you here in this room at this table, some behind me in the audience came to New York or were already in New York and said, hey, we're not raising money. It must be the programming. So they fired the program director. They well, before that, they had to move aside the general manager, who's now, only a year later, no longer getting paid for, I don't know what kind of job it was, that never existed before. But anyway, they were incorrect. I mean, it seems that there wasn't the programming. Gee, some people were saying that all along. They're not raising more money. They've changed some programming. And if I'm wrong about that, please let me know. I'm on the finance committee, and I haven't seen anything that indicates that we're raising more money based on program changes. Secondly, if I can read my own notes. Oh, somebody last night said something about how could Don DeBar have been fired when he was never hired? Well, that person also never went through a legitimate union process. And this current management isn't even recognizing any legitimate processes and bylaws or union contracts or anything like that. Don DeBar volunteered to do news on the morning show, Wake Up Call. He did it for about 4 years, unpaid. And suddenly, when politically they need to get rid of him, it becomes, gee, it wasn't according to the union contract. Well, funny, they're not following union contracts and anything else. We have no grievance procedure, as I alluded to yesterday. There are no procedures for anything. I'll say more tonight. Thanks.
Thank you. Tracy Larkins and then Sarah Clipton.
I'm gonna pass, thanks.
Okay. Serene Roberts and then Grace Aaron. I'm sorry, no. Tracy's passing, Sarah Kleppner. Sarah's not here? I guess not. Okay. Serene Roberts, then Grace Aaron.
I'll pass her now.
That's it.
Grace and Janet.
Oh, wait, we have someone who wants to take the microphone. Okay. Grace, go ahead. You were next on the list, and Christine is after that. Somebody take the microphone. Okay.
Okay, this is positive. This is something positive. This is revolving around money. We're all Pacifica stations. We all need money. We all depend very heavily on fund drives, although I really want to encourage people who are on LSBs, part of your mandate, part of the things that the local station boards really need to do is to help the stations raise money, have benefits, have events in the community where people pledge just a couple dollars. I am saying right now, and I'll give you up my card if you want from the other stations, I am willing to help in whatever way I can with thank you gifts that we have done very well with in LA. I will gladly help get those to you, work through the distributors. Public affairs content. Consuming Kids was an incredible hit. It was the number one thank you gift. Talking about how our children are being marketed to and branded in the womb. So we have a lot of content. I will gladly share those contacts with you. And here's an idea that I had that we're working on at KPFK behind the scenes. I'm working with Ollie Lexa. When Haiti happened, they had a wonderful mechanism to raise money, $5 and $10 a time. It was texting. There is many, many companies that you can, each station can look into this. It's called mobile giving. All you got to do, because, you know, people in the communities don't have $100 to donate, but they got $5 and they got a cell phone. So what you do is you set it up. So, and it's only for nonprofits. So it's perfect for Pacifica. Pacifica National can do it. All the local stations can do it. You text KPFK and you can send $10 or $5 through your cell phone. Please think about it. We're going to work on it at KPFK, and if you want to follow up, you can talk to me. All positive, all good. Yay.
Grace Aaron.
Again, thank you so much, all you board members, for being here. I'm really impressed with the elevation of this meeting above what it was a year ago or so. I mean, I remember chaos last July, but now we are conversing and exchanging ideas, even if I don't like some of them. Now, I rarely have spent the time to defend myself. I want to say that I'm very proud of the fact that here on the local level at KPFK as an LSB member, I recruited many very, very able people of color and helped with the recruitment of a great amount of diversity. Three elections ago, I recruited for the LSB an African-American real estate lawyer, a East Asian American judge, and a recent Latina college graduate. I'm proud of that. I've recruited many diverse people for the KPFK LSB, and I've hired, as the interim ED, I hired Ricardo DeAnda. I hired Ahmad Anderson, African-American. I worked closely and supported the hiring of LaVarne Williams. I hired Tony Bates, African-American in New York. To say that I have been racist and have been purging Pacifica of people of color in any way is completely fallacious. It's also incorrect that I had anything to do with the Jerry Quickly. Jerry Quickly was part of a layoff that occurred prior to my being the chair of the PNB and prior to my being the interim ED. Anything else is totally false. I had nothing to do with Jerry Quickly being off the air at KPFK. So I think that people, when they attack others, should really be conscious of what their facts are. Check your facts, please. Thank you.
Okay. Tracy Larkin, did you want to speak? Tracy Larkin?
No, I'm going to speak tonight.
Okay. Sarah Kleppner, is she here? No. Okay. Serene, you're last.
I believe Janet was next.
You want to pass too?
No, I said Janet was next.
I was next.
Who?
Readdress the question of union hiring, firing for a non-hired position. I believe the gentleman in question volunteered to work for free in a union position. He was able to do that for 4 years because management did not respond to a four-year-old union grievance. It might really behoove all of us to have a little more expertise about what is a union contract and to learn very much more about it so that this doesn't happen ever again.
Thank you.
I want to say that those who are so concerned about the union at AFTRA and the violations of the contract might note that that position, which was quickly disappeared by the urging of the local station board for entirely political reasons when Don DeBar was removed, said nothing at all when it was immediately filled with someone without even an announcement who is being paid. Complete violation of any search process at the station. And there's more to say about the particular commenter, but I won't bother now. I want to say that the person who I understand we're supposed to be grateful will become our permanent HR person on May 1st shepherded all those black and Latino men out of the foundation last year. I don't know where his job was posted. I don't know how many resumes came in. We heard no reports about that search. Suddenly we hear, voila, he's going to be our guy starting May 1st. And those of you who think that because you can put a black face in the lead when you're doing certain things means that there is not racism involved is insulting everyone who actually has to live in a racist society and understands well the roles that are played by various people with degrees of melanin and last names that are favorable to those who wish to use them. I want to speak specifically about staff. There's a lot to say. There are no staff contracts at WBAI that are being recognized, whether paid staff or unpaid staff. They've been abrogated since Grace Aaron the Innocent took the lead in January of last year. There were violations prior to that. There are outstanding grievances which have been ignored. Nothing has happened. Nothing has happened through the current IGM. Nothing has happened through the current ED, and I certainly hope that will change very soon. We have at least two labor programs, one in New York and one in Berkeley. It is a damn shame that within Pacifica that you can't practice collective bargaining, which is what we talk about on all our public affairs programs all the time. With regard to the idea that Steve Brown, whoisstevebrown.info, by the way, is going to be making an executive session presentation to the board. What is it about someone who the Attorney General say is incapable of conducting an honest sale appeals so deeply to this board that they need to discuss marketing with him in private that it cannot be on the public record? That causes me great concern.
Thank you. I want to thank all the speakers for keeping to the time limits. We appreciate that. We are going to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is LaVarne's report. All right, we will locate LaVarne, and in the meantime.
Thank you.
No problem.
I just wanted to let you all know that I, as a 3-year LSB member, my first act as an LSB member was to raise $6,000, organizing with everybody on the LSB, building bridges with people that were on the other side, and raising $6,000, bringing Cynthia McKinney to speak to Los Angeles. And the day after she left town, after I had her speak with the Progressive Democrats at the Winograd's house, I set her up. Anybody that wanted to put her out, she got to speak to everyone who wanted her. And people's names were all on the flyer. The whole KPFK LSB got credit for organizing the event, although it cost me 2 weeks vacation at work in order to pull it off. That was my first act. The day after she left town, John Wenger's friends in the Green Party tried to have me recalled from the Green Party. There were two recall petitions filed against me and the former mayor of Santa Monica and the person who founded the 9/11truthla.org website. So we've been under attack ever since by this faction that is all enfranchised with airtime at KPFK, and they are, several of them, elected as Lesner representatives when what they're really doing is increasing Ian Masters' airtime at KPFK. And that's what ended up happening. So the proof is in the pudding. And I can show you evidence of how all those people are completely connected with each other. And they raised the same amount of money that I raised to give to the KPFK for their staff salaries and equipment. They raised that same amount of money to buy a glossy slate mailer for themselves and their faction in the Democratic Party and the two Green Party people who tried to have me recalled when I was trying to get Cynthia McKinney the Green Party's presidential nomination within the Green Party. So let's just know that there are people presenting themselves as other than what they are. And the programmers are coordinated with listeners that get elected as LSB members, utilizing big money, I don't know where it comes from, through the International Humanities Center to run these slate cards, send them out to all of the listeners, and the people of color end up losing their airtime as a result of that. And Grace Aaron's the one that removed all the people, grassroots of color, and put in people that are beholden to making decisions that please her. And now, Ken.
Thank you.